We're looking at teaching the spirit, our study of pneumatology, the yearly study, and my volume okay? Maybe I'll come maybe. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, got a little bit more. Okay, that's right. So we're looking at pneumatology, we're looking at teaching the spirit. Our emphasis, our focus has been on the recreated spirit. Amen? All right, so yearly study we do, and then I don't know what number of track we have currently, but we have a couple of sessions before now. Amen. Let us say a word of prayer quickly. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you. We are grateful for how the week has been, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even until this evening. We thank you because we've had the workings of your spirit. We've had the move of your spirit in our lives outside the church meetings. We've also had the move of your spirit amongst us in our meetings, even tonight. Thank you for that which you are amongst us to do. We ask tonight, we hungry hearts will come, that we'll receive revelation in your word. The eyes of understanding is going to be enlightened. Every man tonight and together as a church, we will be, oh Jesus, as we explain his word and the work of your spirit amongst us, in us. We will see Jesus, and we're going to see ourselves as he sees us in him. We ask that through the explanation of your word, clarity is going to be received. Direction is going to receive a clearer perception of what you've done, what you are in and amongst us to do by your spirit will be received. We ask that questions will be answered in every heart tonight, and gray areas have light shed upon them. Naughty areas will be losing that in our hearts. We'll see your work to the end that we glorify you as we build ourselves together and we build your church in your plan, and as we walk in your plans and purposes in our lives. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So I'll just quickly start out with 2 Corinthians 1 quickly. That's in our text. And then I'll say one or two things there. And I'll fly. So 2 Corinthians 1, again. So you can do that now. I saw that coming. Thank you. I don't really have to be too loud. People can hear me. So far I get into audio, into your recording. I'm good. So, in 18, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 18, he says, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea nay, for the Son of God Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus. He says, you know, Silvanus is Silas, are we together? Well, you have Paul and Silas, that's Silvanus. He says, was not yea and nay. We've gone through that, right? But in him was yea. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Praise God. So he attaches us in the equation. He says, now he which established us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us. He explains that sealing. So this is not a conjunction. This is an explanation. The word and there. So I take it again. Who has also sealed us and given us. Not two things. He sealed us, he gave us. No. He has also sealed us. I mean. Are we together? I mean. Given us what? The earnest of the spirit. Remember the word earnest again? Erabon. Of the spirit in where? In our heart. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now, I think I just wanted to take you on a contextual link just for a few minutes, and I'm not sure I'll be able to do that again. But we said, I think in our last meeting, and in the last meeting, that in the Spirit of God, when you say the Spirit, so I told you, or we have been able to, I'm careful these days of saying I told you. Are we together? Because we studied together. Are we together? All right. So, we have been able to see that the word spirit, as used by the apostles, you have to be careful when you come across that word. Or the word Holy Spirit. Isn't it? Holy Spirit. Or Spirit of God. Right? You know, I said I'll show you that Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, What else have we seen? Huh? Holy Ghost, thank you. So we saw Holy Ghost, then we saw Spirit of God, then we saw Holy Spirit. Are we together? What other spirit do we see? Spirit of. Someone said, the Bible said that the seven spirits of God. So God has seven spirits. Are we together? And I said, no, he's not seven. He says, so what I say? I say it's eight. You are not serious. Are we together? He says, or oh, it's seven and a half. Because look like the half one is speaking through you. Amen. You know, the seven spirits of God, you will find out in Revelation. I always warn you about building a doctrine when you see something occur once in the Bible. It's the poorest way to build a doctrine out of it. A single mention. Something was said once, and it was not mentioned emphatically, just mentioned by passing. Then you build a whole doctrine of a denomination on it. No, now. And then, by then you now observe where maybe a similar concept was discussed emphatically. So you now say, because that was mentioned, you know, don't do that. You must be sincere in Bible study. Are we together? So I told you the danger of giving an omnibus meaning to the word spirit. So we saw Spirit of God. We saw how that when it's a Spirit of God, is the same as Holy Spirit. Amen? We saw it is the same as Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost is not the powerful one, and then the Holy Spirit gentle. Are we together? Holy Spirit is gentle. Then Holy Ghost is bold and violent. No, the same Spirit. Are we together? Then we saw Spirit of God. What else did we say? I showed you now. Give me those words. Huh? You know, we also have Spirit of faith, right? Spirit of truth. Thank you. The Spirit of truth. Right? If you look at Romans 8, I might not get there today. But Romans 8, you have the Spirit of Christ. You also have the Spirit of the Son of God. You also have the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You also have the Spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead. So, it's just the apostles just threw those words around. They are not teaching, different kinds of spirit or different spirits. Are we together? Now, that wasn't even our focus. Our focus was to help us to see that when the word spirit is used, it does not always refer to that person. I didn't want to say entity, but that person that you think. You know, someone says, the Holy Spirit is the how did I put it last week? Is the third member of the Godhead. He's the third member of the Godhead. So I showed you, for example, that you will not find a single text that said God the Holy Spirit. Because there's nothing like that. Amen. I said amen. In fact, I went on to show you instances where the apostles, which I told you, except you are not really except you are not really mindful about precision in the worship of God, in the truth of God, precision. See, there has to be precision. I showed you. It looked like all the apostles ganged up. All of them. In the opening letters and the closing of the letters, in a very strategic place where they should have discussed the personalities in God, the Spirit was missing. Grace unto you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time at the beginning of at the opening of the text, who mentioned the Spirit? Obviously, that's not to say there's no Holy Spirit. Are we together? And obviously, that's why definitely there's a whole lot of correction to the doctrine of Trinity. There is no Trinity, but maybe not the way you teach the Trinity. Are we together? Maybe not the way you teach the Trinity. It doesn't mean that there is no Trinity. It doesn't mean that there is no Spirit, there is no Son, there is no Father. Are we together? So we took, and because our study is just focused on the Spirit, but then we look at Christology, we'll deal a lot with What's the relationship between Jesus and then the Spirit? Are we together? We'll do all that. But I showed you already that many times we saw when the word Spirit is used, there are times where it is referring to Jesus. The Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, he categorically stated, the Lord is that Spirit. Are we together? And by the time you observe the context, because that's how to read your Bible, you don't take text out of the context except you are a liar. It's only people that want to blackmail you that remove your words from the settings of other things you say. Are we together? So if that's your style of reading the Bible, you want to say something, just look for a text that supports what you want to say, and then you pull it out. That is called character assassination. Amen? Nobody loves to be misquoted. Not even God. Not even you. So you don't take text out of their setting only because it says what you feel like saying. You have to look at it within the settings of other texts, what he's saying there. Are we together? So when you see the word Spirit, we'll see you separately that Spirit also many times refers to the Father. Jesus stands here in the flesh in John 4. And he tells that woman, God is Spirit. And he stands there in the flesh. I mean, you should be like, what is he? Is he not God? Because when you don't understand text like that, you start saying, you know, those who fault the teaching of God becoming flesh, of Jesus being God, those who fault it, we start saying things like, Jesus is not God. Why? Because Jesus was standing here, he said, God is Spirit. Is Jesus Spirit? Just calm down. Amen. Amen. I was talking to someone, was it this week? It was the close of last week. It was a Friday or Saturday last week. I was here engaging someone, and his dilemma. By then he allowed me to explain how I love him. See, I love people who are just simple. Amen. Now, he's well-read, so the simplicity is not in maybe he was clueless. He is well-read. He's not a Christian. But he's well-read. He has read the Bible over and over and over and over. He has read the Bible. In fact, I love to have engagements, conversations with people who have read their Bible well. And I'm not born again. Yeah, because it makes it easy. Are we together? He said, this one has read the Bible well. Not one guy that turned his Bible upside down was reading it. And then start proving to you that he knows the Bible. Okay, calm down, sit down. Both down. Amen. I said, amen. The guy knew the scriptures. I explained. He said his dilemma for the past couple of decades, I think about 20 or 30 years, he said he has been paying attention to the Bible, is how can you say that Jesus is God and is the Son of God? I mean, I look at you guys. Is it my head that is paining me? Our children in church will explain that. Abi, children. Thank you. Our children in church will explain that to you clearly. Amen. It's just simple. So I had to take him, and obviously I didn't think that simple. So I had to start, explain. And I went back to the Old Testament, look at the concept of son. Now look at that. So I said, okay, so this is God, and then he comes into the flesh to serve whose purpose? He told me God. So as he's in the flesh serving God's purpose, who is he? He said, the Son of God. He said, okay, I said, okay. Then he closed with the same question before you shall ask. Oh, Bible school, be attentive. I've gotten better answer now. Before I tell them that, I boastfully just say, I didn't pass through any in front of any Bible school. So I said, wow, them. We have a better answer now. Praise God. So we see the Spirit can refer to Jesus. Like in John 14, clearly, the Spirit was Jesus, or is Jesus. Are we together? I told you. He told them, he says, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. Now, that word another is where the challenge is. By the time you look into the Greeks of that word another, it did not mean another. Because another should have translated heteros. That word is allos. Allos means of the same kind in the same place. That's allos. So when he says another comforter, it's actually the same comfort. The same comforter. Now, should you think he was talking about somebody You know, there's a way you can say, oh, I will pray the Father, he shall give to you maybe another comforter, or like we said, the same comforter, whether it's the same or another. Well, he says, he will give you a comforter. Or, let people say, he says, he will give unto you the same comforter. You might be asking in your heart, would they be referring to maybe a comforter they have spoken about before? But so that you are not in that dilemma, he says, for he has been with you, and he will be where? In you. He has been with you. He says the world does not know him, because they do not see him. But you know him, and you see him, for he has been with you. So that means the I will give you. Are we together? Look at it. The I will give you is not a presence, because he says he has been with you. Are you with me? Are we together? I will give you. And I told you very importantly to observe the pronoun of the entire John 14. That was verse 17. Observe the pronoun of the entire verse 1 to 16 of John. The pronoun was Jesus. I. Everything. Right from verse 1. Be not afraid. He says, I go to my Father to build a house. I will come. I will do this. Where I am, you will be also. And then Philip says, show us the Father. Yeah, have I been with you for so long? And he says, show me. Don't you know that he that has seen me has seen the Father? And he says, he that believes in me, the work that I... So you observe the pronoun. John 14 was centered on him. He will do the work, and he is the work. It is his work. He will do the work. The work is his own. He is not out on somebody's errand. Are we together? Jesus is not out on somebody else's errand. That was his work. So he comes into the flesh to satisfy his work, which could not be done through the frailty of human flesh by the various men he had called in the Old Testament. Abraham could not fulfill it. David could not fulfill it. Are we together? They did their part. So he comes as the Messiah and fulfills what Moses could not do. Are we together? He fulfills what Abraham could not do. That is why I told you that the concept of Christ did not start from Jesus. You have to go into the Old Testament. Then when he says Jesus Christ, I told you, Christ is not his surname. Amen? Christ is not his surname. Christ refers to his work. Are we together? His work. That word Christ, the word Christos, is the language of the Old Testament. It's a motif from the Old Testament. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? It's a motif of the Old Testament. Christos. To choose to anoint. That's why if you check your Greeks, you will see the word Christ, the anointed. Are we together? The anointed. So why is it called the anointed? Because the concept of the anointed has nothing to do with Jesus. It's something people knew. It's human. See, God works with human language. He works with human language. So when a statement is made, many times the statement makes sense in the setting of those who made it. So as a Bible reader today, the Bible was not written to you. Are we together? That was not written to you. It was written for you. Don't miss it. But it was not written to you. What is the proof that it was not written to me? It wasn't written to you because, first of all, it was not even written in your language. Are you with me? You know, I said it earlier. It was not written in your language. So the writer had a primary audience. To the church, did you see Tanke there? No. Paul did not even know that his letters would be read by any Kevin in any church in Ilorin. He had an audience. He dealt with them. But because what he wrote definitely has a significance in your life, you will need to first of all read that text diligently to understand what his audience must have picked when he wrote to them. Until then, you can't see how you come in. That's why I tell you, Bible study is work. Amen. I don't need anybody to teach me the Bible. He gave the scriptures, he gave teachers after. Yeah, calm down. The Bible is not something you will read in your room and understand.
It does not mean you should not read it. Is it clear? But that's why he gave teachers. It must be read to be understood. But I mean just isolating yourself from the grace of teaching, which works through God's men. And he said, I will decode everything. Just calm down. He was not listening to you. He wasn't listening to your language. Secondly, the communities he was written, I don't think you were born there. You weren't born there. To the church at Corinth. Thirdly, it was not written to you because there were names mentioned and you don't know them. Say unto Archippus, who is Archippus here? Is Archippus here? Are we together? Are we together? So there's a need for me to be patient with the scriptures, to read, to understand. Your first assignment in the scriptures is to understand it, not to act on it. How can you act on what you don't understand? Now, that acting on it, there's a word we use in Bible teaching, we call it application. So your first study, your first assignment with the scriptures is not to apply. Your first assignment to the scriptures is to understand. There's a word for understand in Bible teaching, we call it interpretation. And interpretation does not mean that you give your meaning to the text. Interpretation simply means you will find out what the writer is saying. What is the writer saying to who the writer was saying? What's the conversation between them? Why that conversation? When somebody said, well, someone telling me, he says, suffer a witch not to live. So they must fall down and die. Oh God. You want to fall down and die? Because to somebody, you are a witch. I say, God, kill all my enemies. You know you are somebody. In fact, many times you are even yourself's enemy. Amen. If God answered all the prayers, we just have lizards and cats all over the earth. Because there will be no human being. God will need to bring another Adam. Praise God. So there is a need for you to become. So we saw the spirit. I told you about not generalizing, right? In Bible study, don't generalize any word. See, I told you this. I've said this about 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm not saying it yet. I've been telling you this for like 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And I'm not saying it. That a good Bible student does not assume that a word always means the same thing every time it is used. No. So everything has pointed to patience. Read it again. Read again. As long as you don't understand, the Bible says it is impossible. It is impossible. He will never can lose their salvation. How he lost salvation? He will be lost in salvation. None of that. I said, can't you see what Paul said in Hebrews 6? Open Hebrews 6. Check Hebrews 6. Can't you see? It is impossible. How can you build doctrine? It is impossible. I say it is impossible. What? There is no man. The Bible says it is impossible. He said it is impossible. The Bible says it is impossible. But did you observe the Bible says with God? That statement will just make you to be calm. I like that. It means we are now calm, right? So can we see? You see, it is impossible to, because you know Paul was talking, writer of him was talking there, and he said it's impossible to restore. He said, he has set him upon foot, the Son of God. He has done this. He has done this. Why do you shout? Why are you an activist against salvation? You are just an activist. No! Oh no! No! They must lose their salvation! They must lose their salvation! No! They can lose it! They can lose it! We have lost it! We are lost! We are lost it! I said to someone, I said, see, the teaching that the believer can't be lost is not demeaning the work of God. It glorifies him. So calm down. glorifies him. When we explain the new creation properly, in the light of the work of Christ, God does not feel, he doesn't share his glory with anybody. He doesn't feel like we are stealing his glory. Amen. He's not demeaning. He glorifies him. It's not impossible. It is impossible. It's impossible to restore such a one unto repentance. So I ask you a question. I said the impossibility to restore that believer, that the believer that you think is lost, that you say, the Bible says it is impossible to restore him. I said that impossibility is with you. Is with you. That impossibility is with you. Is it with God? Is it with the man? Then you know you are drunk. Give me 3 years. Are we together? So don't generalize words in the Bible, including the word spirit that we are looking at. I now showed you. In fact, that has been what we have dwelt on for the past 2-3 months. Now, how that when the apostles use the word Holy Spirit, they are referring to who? See, your mouths are heavy now. They are referring to who? When the apostles use, in the epistles, when the word Holy Spirit is used, what does it refer to? What does it refer to? The believer. Are we together? So you are not bold. The reason why you are not bold is because you don't study what I teach you after. I told you. You take your notes into your private study and scrutinize it. And when you have questions, you bring the questions. This is a place that you can ask questions. You are not building dummies here. Are we together? You have questions, we look at that questions, and then we explain it. Because I told you that Bible study is more of answering questions. Look at majority of the Bible study in scriptures was answering people's questions. Understanding what thou readest, Philip told Enoch in Acts 8. And then Enoch said, how can a man understand except what it is explained to him? Tell me, this man, because it was written from Isaiah. He says, tell me, does this man speak of himself or another man? Then Philip began to explain across the entire scripture. The same thing on the road to Emmaus. What led to Jesus' explanation, verse 27, 25, 27, was the question Cleopas and his wife asked. Are we together? Are we together? In fact, let me tell you something. You know we have said, we're going to look at it again. The question, are we together? Are we together? The question, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Jerusalem? At what point did it come? Before or after the 40 days? I'm going to bring it back to you. Are we together? Are we together? Questions. So, you must ensure, that's why we must ensure that our teaching services, God is using our teaching services to answer questions. That's why you are here. You have questions. Who is God? Who is man? Why are we on the earth? Are we together? Why are we on the earth? Why should I be saved? Why do I need to be in the local church? Why can't I be at home on Sunday morning? Why can't I just live my life anyhow? Why do I have to live godly conduct? Why can't I? Questions. Why am I created? Why am I here? What is the purpose of the creation? What is the same problem? That is what Bible study is for. Amen. So we don't generalize. We study, we explain. The mention of the Holy Spirit in the epistles is the apostles referring to what God has put in man that makes him a believer. The Spirit in the recreated man. The Spirit of the believer. Yes. As you are sitting there right now, your spirit is what the apostles focus on and described as what? The Holy Spirit. That is why we had to unbundle that word, right? Right? That one took us weeks to unbundle it. We studied the word holy up until about 3 Thursdays ago. We looked at the word holy. Then we now look at the word spirit. Then we see, why use the word holy for the spirit? Holy Spirit. And see that, oh. And then you now observe that, what is called Holy Spirit, the same holy, was used for the scriptures. And it's not a book of God that God is reading. Are we together? It's a material that is for you, for the things of God. So the things that are given to man, so man can function in God's plan, are called holy. You get it? You get it? I went on to discuss to you that it is not God that tells you something is holy. I told you that. It is not God that tells that something is holy. I have to show you that it has to do, for you to call the things of God holy, it is because of your disposition to who? To who? Your disposition to who? To God. It's because of your disposition to God that you call certain things holy, because they are of God. Somebody who has a different disposition will not see it as holy. So it shows that man is the one who calls something holy. Are we together? Based on his faith and perception. So because your faith and perception of God is to treat the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as your God, then all you need to find out is his disposition to something. The moment, since you have said, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my God, if you know the meaning of God, when he says this is God, if you know the meaning of that, and you have said that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is your God, then all you need to know is it something. The moment you observe that he has given something, or something is for him, or he is towards something, you begin to treat it as holy, sacred, including the scriptures. I showed you why the mountains in the Old Testament refer to as holy. Even the animals are called holy. Even there was a room in the Old Testament in the tabernacle that was called holy room, the holy place. Are we together? The holy place. Because the ark was placed there. Sacred place. Sacred place. We saw the significance of that sacred place in our world today is what? Is the local church. The place of encounter. Paul says the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15-14. This is right now unto you. He says, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the pillar and the what? And the ground of the truth. Are we together? The house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. Then it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifests in the same. In the flesh. Are we together? Sin of angels, justified. Preach unto the Gentiles, receive up unto glory. Amen. I said amen. So the Spirit, there are times when it refers to the Lord Jesus himself. The Spirit, there are times when it refers to the Father. And I told you, don't mix it. Except you have eaten uncooked rice. You know uncooked rice? Uncooked rice. That is the teaching of the word not properly explained. I told you that the Lord Jesus is not the one referred to as the Father. Are we together? Are we together? You see, you won't have trouble. You won't have any trouble. And then someone is asking you a question that is in the scriptures, and then you are a rima. Bible study is not that you see. Bible teaching is not being stubborn. Is it clear? Bible teaching is having a proper explanation that puts the whole text of the scripture in context. It considers the entire text. So this is Jesus, and then it is your Father in heaven, and he's not referring to himself. Are we together? Now, does that undo the fact that he and the Father are one? No. He and the Father are one. Are we together? But it's very clear in the four Gospels, he keeps on referring to a personality outside himself as the Father. Does that make the Father more God than Jesus? No. Does that make Jesus less God than the Father? No. Is he fully God? Yes. Is the Father fully God? Yes. How? That is the Bible. Are we together? And look at this. You have to be a poor Bible reader for you to be shocked at what I just said. Because right from the Old Testament, you would have already seen how God dealt with his men. You observe. By the time you observe their encounter with God in the Old Testament, except you are not a careful Bible reader, by the time you observe their encounter with God, Abraham's encounter, you look at Moses' encounter, you look at Joshua's encounter with God, then you see men like Jonah. You see Jonah. Then you see just three chapters. And then you see David. And most, in fact, like the word most or more. Let me use the word most, but it can be more. But most spectacularly, Jacob's encounter. And then Jacob in the dream will see the ladder come down. And then he said he saw somebody on the ladder. On the ladder. So we already see right from the Old Testament God's appearance is like a man. Is it clear? Jesus cannot come and say, I have come to fulfill the Old Testament. And then he says, he is God in the flesh. If we can't trace that concept from the Old Testament, then this is a false star. Because I told you that the authority of them all is the Old Testament books. What's the New Testament books? Where are the New Testament books from? Are you with me? Where are the New Testament books from? I put it to you, the New Testament books were never taught in the churches. They were never taught. Were they read? Yes. Were they instructed from them? Yes. Were those the teachings of the churches? No. They were, for example, Paul's letters, they were letters Paul wrote to the churches because he was in prison. And look at me, those churches had their pastors. So there was something being taught in the churches, and it was not Paul's letters. Are you with me? Simple. The churches had teachers. So if Paul never wrote to the churches, they had elders teaching them. Example was 1 Timothy 1. When he told Timothy, he says, I send you to Ephesus that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, and so that you may ordain elders. The same thing he said to Titus. Not just Paul. Look at John too. John writes to the seven pastors, the seven angels. He writes to the seven pastors of the churches in Asia to show you that without those writings, now obviously, does that, do you see that Paul's letter to the churches is similar to John's letter to the seven churches. Do you observe that? Thank you. So the letters were to deal with issues. Do you observe that? Simple. So without those letters, the churches were being taught. The four gospels were not put together until many years after the disciples of Jesus had died. They were not written, rather. Are we together? Matthew wasn't written. Mark wasn't written. I told you, Mark's account was Peter's dictations at the tail end of his life. Luke was a disciple of Paul. So when could he have written? Jesus and Paul never met. Luke was a disciple of Paul. So Luke stated categorically that I had, so I also put down. It seemed good to me to also write. Then John's epistle was written much later alongside his synoptic account, alongside with the epistles. Are you with me? So the churches had what they were teaching. If you were in the churches in Corinth, or you were in the church in Galatia, or in the church in Ephesus, when the pastor is teaching, I told you severally, the book you will have is what we call the Old Testament books. No New Testament books. Which shows you that the authority of the teaching, including today. So thank God we have the epistles today. Are we together? But they don't replace the Old Testament books. The Old Testament books is the doctrine of the church. Amen. The Old Testament book is what? Is the doctrine. Genesis to Malachi. So when Paul is teaching gifts of the Spirit, he's teaching it from there. Study it enough to know it. When Paul is teaching gifts of the Spirit, he's teaching it from there. Old Testament. If he comes and then he explains the ascension gifts, that means in the Old Testament, you have the pastor, you have the prophet, you have the evangelist, you have the teacher. In the Old Testament. That's where he taught it from. When he's teaching the body of Christ, from the Old Testament. When he's teaching the church, the Old Testament. When he's teaching love work, the Old Testament. When he's teaching evangelism and ministry. Evangelism and ministry is taught from the warfare of the Old Testament. To claim the ground and to seize nations for Yahweh. The Old Testament. So, you have to be patient. That's what I'm saying. So, Bible study is a marathon. Is it clear? It's not somewhere someone will just come to you and sprinkle some gist on you. Bible study, and then just sprinkle some text, and then use some motivation, and then prophesy over you, and bring some motivational quotes. That's not Bible teaching. In Bible teaching, like I said on Sunday, the scriptures are the what? Are the tools. And then when Bible study is done, at every time that we say service is closed, you go back home with clarity of God's plan. Because what we taught is the book of God's plan. Nobody should leave service motivated to have more money. That's not what service is about. There's nothing wrong with motivation to have money. Are we together? If you need services for motivation to have money, then something is wrong with your background. Because nobody needs the church to bring, you know, natural desire. No. Are we there? Yeah, I left the service. I was really blessed in that conference. After that conference, I feel like taking over my world and establishing businesses everywhere. You didn't attend the Christian meeting. You wasted your time. In the teaching service, God's purposes and plans are clear to you. Without impediment, you see God's plan. Here, see God's plan. So we see that the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3, I'll say this and then I'll close. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians 3, look at something there. He says, we
You've seen this text already, okay? So I'm just mentioning what I said before. Just emphasizing on it. He says in verse 3, "For as much as we, as you rather, are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, not written wing, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Four. Such trust are we to Christ, to God, what? Five. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Six, everyone, can we take it together? Who has also able ministers of the New Testament, none of the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Are we together? So, it says, "But if the ministration of death, which is an engraven stones, was glorious." So you observe when he says the letter killeth, he's not talking about, someone told me this, I think about maybe 7 to 8 to 10 years ago, I was teaching in the conference. The Bible said letter killeth, and he was using it to fight how, you know, detailed the decision was. Because when I go there, I didn't want to preach that with Nike. Are we together? He said, Let that kill it. Amen. Let that kill it. The letter that killed here is not the written word. He says, the ministration of death, written and engraved with stone. Does this look like stone in your hand? Are you with me? But let's be gentle, okay? I know you to be very gentle. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I have told the guy, I said, "Oh yeah, who's your Bible?" I mean, that's very simple than me. He said, "Who's your Bible?" "Oh yeah, press it down like this." "Oh yeah, press it." "Does this guy stone?" "You are dumb." "Yes." I said that. "You're just dumb. You're, you know that?" He's a teaching me, you know. I usually sit down and stand. That's why I did my follow up. You're already sitting down and standing. I said, "Yeah, hold your Bible. Yeah, press it. Hold it like stone." So you can see that just you're spitting dust. I'm serious. You can see you're spitting dust. Today, I just wonder, how did those people even fail after I've left? And then my colleague, I said, "How did they do?" The judgment of God is back. Amen. Today I'd love to be just patient and other. Oh, and it doesn't even mean that all of them they will start where they are today. So it says, "But if the ministration of death, written, engraven in stones." So it has to do with what Moses wrote against Israel. Are we together? What Moses wrote against Israel. Because the moment he says, look at this. Paul is teaching from Corinthians, and he said ministration engraved in stones. Definitely, Paul did not expect that you would think he wrote on stones. Did you understand? So it shows you that this guy is talking from the what? Old Testament. And look at me. Again, it shows you how the apostles thought. I'll close the service now. It shows you how the apostles thought. The person teaching expects that not only do you have the Old Testament book, you have read it over and over. So you will not find them quoting the Old Testament. They will be talking. They will just refer to it. And look at it. Look at another thing. If that's the way they thought, then you will expect Paul, or any of the apostles, in within 3 minutes of conversation, he can refer to refer to Moses. Then the next statement can be made from Joshua. Then the next one from Jonah. Then the next one from Malachi. Then the next one from Exodus. Because they treated the scriptures as a singular material. So no serious Bible teacher has a favorite part of the Bible. No serious Bible teacher. Jesus did not. The apostles did not. The scriptures are a material. He said, "What's your favorite part of the scripture?" What's the favorite part of the scripture? That's a stupid question. Are we together? The scriptures are a single material. You don't have a favorite part. No. The entirety of scriptures is the counsel of God. Amen.
That's why I told you, you will see statements like, Jesus said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to rise from the dead the third day?" The question you have is, where is it written in the scriptures? Nowhere. So, but by making that statement, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has said, how that Christ ought to have suffered and entered into his glory." So, Jesus is treating the entire scriptures as a single document. That is, when you read the entire scriptures, you will come to an agreement, a conclusion, that Christ ought to have suffered and to enter into his glory. Not because there is a text saying that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not because there's a text saying that. I'll give you another one. He says, "For the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Where? There's no single text like that. But when you put the entirety of scriptures together, and obviously, I had to show someone some days ago, I said, "Did you observe that the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water?" It's not saying out of your belly. He didn't see it. Very funny. The guy is a preacher, but he didn't see it. Jesus got to, he said, on the last day of the feast, he went out, are we together? And then he said, "Come to me," right? "And drink." He says, "For the scripture said, out of his belly." So it's not out of your belly, because the scripture does not talk about you, the scripture talks about him. So, "For the scripture said, out of his belly," whose belly? Christ's belly, "shall flow the rivers of living water," and that agrees with what he told the woman at the well. So, living water is not flowing from your own belly. Are we together? Living water is flowing from Christ's belly, and belly in scripture has to do with the resurrection. The womb of the morning. It has to do with the resurrection. So, out of his resurrection, there will be an endless shedding forth of the Spirit of God in eternal life. Out of his belly. Out of his belly. He didn't say, "For the scripture said, out of your belly." No. He says, out of his belly. Out of his resurrection. I'll give you another one. When he said in John 2, before Jesus was crucified, and then he had spoken to his disciples. And then he spoke to them about the temple and all that. And one of the things said about the temple, he says, "You destroy this temple, and I will rear it up in 3 days. Then guys, the Jews, unbelieving Jews, turned to him and said, "What meaneth this man? This temple, he says, 40 and 6 years was in building. And he's saying that he will rear it up in 3 days. Well, you know, the writer now said he spoke of his what? Of his body. Are we together? Now when he says he spoke of his body, did Jesus tell them that, "Don't mind, I'll give my body. Destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll bring it up. No, Jesus was not. That means that conclusion was reached when they saw him rise on the third day. Are we together? The conclusion was reached that, wait, who? Pastor was speaking of his body. The conclusion was reached. Don't forget, John wrote just to prove that he's God. You see that in John 20:31. The reason why John wrote was just to prove that Jesus is God. That's why John would not discuss Jesus' miracles except for 7. And they were usually miracles where that Jesus taught after he walked. Are we together? Talk about Jesus' miracles except a particular. John selected miracles he dealt with, and they were the miracles that Jesus taught something after he had walked it. When he opened the blind eyes, he started teaching on the light of the world. When he rose Lazarus, he started teaching, "I am the what? I am the resurrection and the dead." Are we together? There are seven miracles like that. When he multiplied bread, he started teaching, "I'm the bread of life." So he selected miracles that point. He not had many miracles, but John selected the ones that pointed to his death, that he is God, because that was the reason why he wrote. Are we together? So, now said that after Jesus has risen from the dead, When the disciples, that's John 2, when they remembered what he said, he says they believed what? The scriptures. Which scriptures did they believe? They believed the entire scriptures. So that shows you that, look at this. That shows you that the way Jesus and the apostles treated the scriptures was not like they were 66 books. Are we together? They treated the scriptures as though they were what? One material. Are we together? That was how Jesus taught the scriptures, as though it was one book. They didn't treat it. Now, it is 66 books, but they didn't treat it like 66 different books. And that's the way you and I. That means, look at this. Sometimes you might be reading Jonah, but the answer is in Exodus. You can't see that the answer is in Exodus if you did not treat the material as what? One book. You can't. Sometimes you are reading Proverbs. The answer is in Psalms. Sometimes you are reading Nehemiah. Are we together? Or you are reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which were the last set of the books of the Old Testament written. They are only close to Genesis. They are not close in years. They were one of the last set of books. And sometimes the answer is in Genesis. So the books of the Bible have to be treated. Are we together? As a single material. So he says, in this text, verse 6, he says, who has made us able ministers of what? Of the New Testament. So what did we say from here? Because here we said, God called us. Or, you know, Paul says, he has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now, if you read contextually, I think you should go home and do that. Okay? Okay? You will observe this. I mean, you will not struggle. Just pay attention. Don't read and be responding to a WhatsApp chat. That is how to not understand your Bible. You will not get through. You are reading the Bible, WhatsApp chat, and then the food is burning. And then, they are not God light. You will not get anything. Are we together? You swipe out that screen. You press the offline mode. You pull that phone away. If it's for 1 hour, 1 hour. If it's for 40 minutes, 40 minutes. 40 minutes of no calls, no worries, no conversations. Look at me. No getting up to urinate. Some of you can't sit down for... I want to unite. One feet of shade. Yes, I'm serious. We just come on Sunday morning to we just want to let's just spend 1 hour 30 minutes together. You have got to unite for 30 times. We should lay hands on you for healing. To be healed from I don't know what you call that. It's not wrong with relating, no. No. I didn't say are we together. I said yes. But I didn't say are we together. So we are together, sir. We are together. Okay, I'm going to do what I want to do. You must be able to. So I'll give it to go. You won't struggle. In 2 Corinthians 3, that we just read, 4, 5, and 6. Go read it. I will ask about that. On Thursday, you will tell me what you observe. Just two, three things. So I won't tell you where you find it. Are we together? Just go read it. We'll come back. So, well, let me just say this. One of the things you find out, you observe that those chapters dealt with ministry. Ministry. And they called ministry ministering the plan of God. So he started a paragraph that was concluded. Play for me, I close. A paragraph that was concluded, I didn't teach today. It's fine. So, A paragraph that was concluded as, look at this, a paragraph that was concluded, because you will see a conclusion in chapter 5 verse 21. Righteousness of God. 571. Now, if you read 6 verse 1, it continues. Chapter 5 verse 21. Now, chapter 5 verse 1 continued. Are we together? Chapter 4. Chapter 4 continued chapter 3. So, he started out in chapter 3. Now, why did I start on chapter 3? Because chapter 1 and 2 were introductory. In chapter 1, Paul introduces his letter. He now spent the latter part of chapter 1 into chapter 2 to talk about what he already said in the first Corinthians, the first letter. Including the scenario of the guy who had his father's wife. I mean, who was sleeping with his father's wife. Are we together? An idiot. Are we together? Are we together? I got a problem. Did I say that you're sharing? Idiots. Amen. Someone there. I don't want to say it before. Someone there, but he was a stepmom. I think what's different? They want to sleep with a stepmom. Are you a more idiot? I say, we say he's an idiot. He's his father's wife. He said, hey, boy, it was his stepmom. Ah. Then we start looking at you and say, ah. Are you a brother in this church? Just start holding. Amen. So, he dealt with that in chapter 1, there's that chapter 2. So, in chapter 3, now started what we just read now. From verse 1, do we begin to commend ourselves? And any letter of recommendations and all. So, he goes to chapter 3. He ends chapter 3, verse 18. Are we together? Are we together? Talking about being transformed after the image of God and all that. In 18. Then 4 verse 1, he continues the same thought. And then 4 verse 1, 5. So, as you are reading, look at this. You are going to be reading two thoughts side by side. But they are connected. You will be reading ministry. Then you will be reading Paul's experiences of persecution in his own ministry. So, Paul is talking about a ministry given to all of us. Within the same text, he's also discussing the challenges and the persecution he went through fulfilling when he was fulfilling his own. You read that. I won't tell you more than that. Go to the wall. Amen. Now look at this. He goes into 4. In chapter 4, was in chapter 4, he started talking about if our God will be healed, right? He is there at lost. God of this one blessed mind of them that believe not. Let thy glory of God in the image of God shine upon them. Are we together? Then he said, but God command light shine out darkness shine on heart, give light of the glory of God in the face of his Son Jesus Christ. Amen. So he goes on.
Then in chapter 5
was when he started talking. He's talking about persecution. Then the changing of our bodies, and then another chapter 5. Then later on from verse 14, the love of Christ concerning us, right? Now in 14, but we don't short. I even died yet, all the dead, the one that died, that all might live. And then he said, for the love of God concerning us. Then in verse 15, 16, he died for all that live, should henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto him that what? That died and rose. Are we together? Again, from the dead. Amen. Then he came unto verse 17. If any man in Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, they have become new. And all things of God will reconcile to himself, and as you know, to us, we are willing to do that God is the Christ, reconcile the word unto himself, not imputing their sentence unto them, and as given unto us, committed unto us, the word of reconciliation. Now, when we, as the brothers of Christ, as though God did beseech you, we pray you in Christ, be reconciled unto God, for he made you receive the sin, who did not see, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. Then, chapter 6. Having this was? What do you have in chapter 6, verse 1? Oh, exactly. So he's dealing with ministry. But don't forget how we started in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, we are able ministers of the New Testament. Don't forget, I told you that to do a relationship, right? Right? So he deals with persecution, he deals with godly conduct. He then deals with fulfilling your ministry. What did I call the first one? Persecution. That is keeping on in the ministry. Despite what? Unfavorable challenges. Then the second one, he mentioned what? Conduct. Godly conduct. What we call holiness. Holiness unto the Lord, godly conduct of not lying, of not stealing, of not doing Yahoo. Are we together? Of not following boys, of not following girls, of not following allergies. Godly conduct. Are we together? Name it. Of not defrauding, not changing 1,000 to 10,000. Are we together? Godly conduct. Then he mentioned what? Preaching to fulfill your ministry. Look at it. He calls it ministering the New Testament. He calls it ministering the Spirit. Are we together? Ministering the Spirit. Ministering the Spirit. They are ministering the Spirit. You know, we said this, that what we have found in Christ, I said not what, who, right? Who we have found in Christ is what? The Spirit. And then what we find in the Spirit is what? What? We're going to answer another question. I told you the Bible study is answering questions. And we have been answering questions. We're going to answer another question. You know, in 2 Corinthians 1, it says for all the promise of God, right? Right? Do you remember how we explained it? It's a great promise, right? Is that what we explained? Are you forgotten in our first session? For the great promise of God, right? So we're going to answer a question. What exactly is great about the promise? What makes that promise to the world to be great? The question is this, actually. What is the thing of value in the promise of God? Now, the promise of God is the work of God. What is actually the thing of value in redemption? What is the thing of value? What is the thing of value? And we're going to talk more on the seal. I'll do that on Thursday. What is the thing of value in redemption? What's the thing of value? What's the thing of value? The thing of value can't be God. We're still looking at the Holy Spirit. We're looking at the Spirit. So that when we say the Spirit, you know, we said Ephesians 1, God has given us what? The blessedness of what? Of the Spirit. Right? Right? We summarize that into verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We conclude that in verse what? 14. As what? The Spirit where? Just 1:14, isn't it? So we said that the value of salvation is what? Is what? Is what? The Spirit. Because I still observe that your mind is locked. So when we say the value, sorry if they are not in this issue. Sorry. But you can learn something. So when we say the thing of value is the Spirit, you are still thinking the thing of value is God. Now, so, again, are you with me? Are you with me? You are still seeing it this way. Let me tell you how you are seeing it. You are seeing it as the thing of value is something I have collected and I should guard. You are missing. You are missing. Look at it. The thing of value, is it the Spirit? So I think that the thing of value is something I have, which I must be careful. Or yes, I was. So I will bring that question to you. What is of value in salvation? Is it God? No. God is not the thing of value. Do you know why? He was not the one that was born. He was not the one that was what? That was redeemed. You redeem what is valid. You buy what is valid. The theme of value in salvation is the new creation. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? The thing of value salvation is what? Are you now saying, God, don't say, are you now saying? I know how to say what I want to say. Is that what I'm saying? Are we together? And look at it. We are not demeaning God. We are going to study it. And we are not demeaning God. But the thing of value is salvation. Value is salvation. When you say save, redeem, value in salvation is not on the Savior. It's on what it means. It's not on the actor, the performer. Are we together? It's on the object, the new creation. So when we say the Spirit, so if we say, God gave me the Spirit, are you with me? If we say, God gave me the Spirit. Now, is it right to say God gave me the Spirit? Yes. But when you say God gave me the Spirit, what should you mean? Like I told you many times, it's not really about how it was said. It's about what? What is implied, isn't it? So how it was said is very important. How it was said is very important. But when you say God gave me the Spirit, God has given me the Spirit. God has given me the Spirit. If you don't see what I'm explaining now, you see the Spirit as something you can use. Something that can leave you, right? Is that how the Spirit has been taught? Something that can leave you. Something that you can lose. Something that can be lost. So we have to look into how the Spirit was taught. Discover that the Spirit naturally leaves you. So lose you. What did I say? Lose you. Did you get it? Do you get it? So, wait. Did God give us the Spirit? Eh? Yes. So, the concept of give has to be studied. Did God give me the Spirit as take? Or God gave me the Spirit as what He turned me into? Are we together? The giving of the Spirit is not mulowo. Are we together? It's not mulowo. Just like being in the Spirit is not duronwe. No. If a man in Christ, he didn't say, if somebody is in duronwe. No. That union, that is thought as something inseparable. It's like a paper. Separate it without hearing it. That's union. That's union. To be grafted, to be enfolded, to be embedded. Are we together? So, when we say, listen carefully, when we say that God has given us His Spirit, don't be thinking of Hold it. Yeah, bring your hand. Count it. Take off. Count it. Thank you. Where is it? Come here. Take. Count it. You miss one. Count it well. Ah, that is not complete. Bring it. Count it well. You miss one. Yeah. That's not how God gives. So, the giving of the Spirit has to do with how you were transformed into an entirely new creation. That is the giving of the Spirit. So, look at it. The giving of the Spirit has to do with the renewal, the turning of a man into a new creation. The turning of a man into who he was not before. Are we together? The changing, the entirety of you was changed. You became something. Ezekiel Church. We are going to explore that on top. So when we say give, that's to do with people. that making, that turning you, that something was altered. The altering. Amen. So look at how other writers were going to explain it. Other writers, as I, Paul said, he gave me the Spirit. But other writers, look at how they said it. Other writers says, you are born again. You know, Paul never used that word born again. So other writers now say, James used it. Peter used it. Are we together? John used it. Jesus used it. Paul never used it. Deliberately. So, but they explain that same concept of he gave me the Spirit as being born again. Now, when you give birth to a child, are we together? That is also described as giving the child something. To give birth. So that process of birth, which is a transition and is non-reversible, that means the child is made into something that can be altered. That is giving. So they use that same concept to discuss giving of the Spirit. It is not a giving that can be lost. It is not a giving that can be changed, turned over. It is not a giving that, if you are not careless, you can be reversed. No. The giving has to do with what you are now. Who you are now. Are we together? In nature, that will form how the apostles taught the Spirit throughout. So they will explain the Spirit as the nature of the believer, just as we have done. Is this clear, George? Is this clear, George? So, we must look at when we say, God has given us the Spirit. He has given us the Spirit. What does it mean by he has given us the Spirit? It doesn't mean that he has handed the Spirit over to us. No. And then, if you go into the book of Acts, and then you observe statements where somebody has said, God has given the Spirit. You observe that. Did the guy see the transferring of God? Did God transfer the Spirit? No. So let grammar get you up. Nobody saw God transferring the Spirit. So how does God give the Spirit? Does the Holy Ghost, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Receive it! Receive it! Yes, it's done. That one. No. Nobody sees the Spirit. It's coming. There's no day that I see a child, I see four babies just enter your stomach. They should go back to where they're coming from. So God does not give this way that way. It's coming. So someone say to have the Holy Ghost, then you fast for 14 days after you're born again. I have people who teach that. Yeah. Called the second work of grace, the deeper life teaching. Is that you're far from? And many other churches, seven Adventists, they teach the same thing. They said, after you are born again, he says, you now wait for some days. So God will give you the Spirit. So maybe day one, the Holy Ghost is in the seventh heaven. Day 11 is now around the same place that, the sun is closer to the earth. Maybe day 13, it has entered the earth crust. It's coming. Stay there. Stay there. Keep fasting and keep praying. Day 21, it has entered the lonely. Day 21 by 7:30 p.m. It's not in tanky. It's just 10 meters away. If you can climb the electric pole near you, it will enter you quickly. No. So God does not give the Spirit that way. Don't think in that way. Is it clear? So the apostles that said, for example, Peter in Acts 11 withstood the other apostles and said, who am I? Yes, God has born them when they have given them the Spirit. When Peter said God has given them the Spirit, it wasn't that Peter was seeing the transfer of the Spirit. But why did Peter say God has given them the Spirit? They heard them what? Speak with tongues. Are you with me? So utterances was a sign that they had given them the Spirit. But don't allow give them the Spirit give you an imagination of is a transfer. The giving of the Spirit has to do with what God turned you into. Is it clear, church? It has to do with what? What God has turned the new creation to. Are you blessed tonight? We'll explore this more next week.